Okay, we began a study a number of weeks ago on the good things faith in God brings. And how many agree with the psalmist in Psalm 34:8 that God is good? Taste and see, he says, that the Lord is good. And according to Matthew 7:11, God is the giver of good things. James 1:16, we've been reading these scriptures over the weeks, but they bear repeating. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers, James 1:16. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from God, right? So God is the good giver of good things. And one of the good things God wants to bring into our lives is the ability to forgive and uproot bitterness from our lives. So today's message is faith brings the ability to forgive. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. He healed all who were oppressed of the devil when he walked this earth, because God was with him. And then in Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means that Jesus never changes. The Jesus who delivered from oppression 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who wants to deliver you from any type of oppression today. And you know, one of the oppressions that people deal with is bitterness. Did you know that bitterness against an offender can keep you oppressed and weighed down? You know, as you go about your daily life, your daily activities here at the shelter, work, church, wherever it might be, people are going to say and do things that get under your skin, that get on your last nerve. And they will do some of the most inconsiderate things. And friends, let me tell you today, I speak from experience. I've had to deal with this quite a bit over the last several weeks. You know, some people may not pay back the money they owed you. Maybe they told you they'd get back to you on an important issue. They'd communicate with you, and they left you hanging. They never communicated with you. Maybe they've joked about your weight, maybe joked about a beloved family member, maybe you've been sending them phone calls and emails and they just won't respond. Maybe they tarnished your reputation. They spoke against you to your employer. People do some of the most inconsiderate things. How many would agree? All right. You know, if you allow that seed of offense to be planted in the soil of your heart and you keep nurturing that seed of offense, it can become a root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness unchecked that gets bigger and bigger can become a tree of hatred. Bitterness is a bad thing. Say it with me. Bitterness is a bad thing. It amazes me what destruction and tragedy, extreme bitterness can bring about. With my wife last week, I watched a movie called Amish Grace, I believe it was, and it was about a man whose one-day-old daughter, pretty much the same day she was born, she died. And he was so bitter against God. He let bitterness just take a hold of his heart. And it's based on a true story. And so he was so bitter against God that he wanted to offend God. And so guess what he did? He literally walked into an Amish school and started firing and injured some little girls and killed some of them. Isn't that a shame? So bitterness not only negatively affects you, it affects other people around you. But you know what's so beautiful about this story, Amish Grace? That the Amish in the community lavished forgiveness on the wife of the murderer. And they gave forgiveness to the murderer as well, even though he ended up killing himself in the movie. And so bitterness does a lot of bad. It negatively affects you. And not only you, but it brings destruction to those in your sphere of influence. And, you know, the writer of Hebrews actually says this in Hebrews chapter 12. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, as always, I'll read it to you. It says in Hebrews 12:15, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." That bitter root will cause you personal trouble, and if it goes to the extreme, it can defile and hurt many. So for the next couple of minutes, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Now, If you hold a grudge against an offender, a wrongdoer, it is like dead weight on your back. How many of you have ever walked miles with a school bag on your back, a heavy school bag? All right, anybody ever walked just a little bit with another person on your back? It's pretty tough, right? Well, you know, if you're holding a grudge or bitterness against a wrongdoer, against an offender, it's like holding dead weight on your back, going in and out of life, day in and day out, with this unnecessary weight on your back. You know what? If you're holding a grudge, if you're holding bitterness and you're nurturing that bitterness, you talk about it, you think about it, you tell other people about it, guess what? You could be in China. You could be in China and your offender could be here in Tulsa. You could be separated by thousands of miles and still you feel the weight of that bitterness and that resentment, even though you're not in the presence at all of your offender. Is that making sense? I heard somebody say it like this one time, that bitterness or unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting your offender to die. Muriatic acid. If you drink it, you're going to get really sick. You probably will die. That's what bitterness is like. It's like drinking poison. Drinking poison and expecting your wrongdoer to die. What's the point of this saying? The point of it is this, is that if you're bitter against somebody, they may not even know that they offended you or hurt you. And guess what? If you're bitter against them, it's not going to affect them. It'll end up negatively affecting you. You'll end up being the victim of your bitterness. Is that making sense? So instead of holding on to offenses, you need to uproot any roots of bitterness with the tool called what? Forgiveness. If you ever did gardening and there's weeds in the garden, maybe for a parent or a loved one or a friend, and trying to pull those weeds out, sometimes you use a hoe, right? Or a shovel. And in this case, if you've got bitterness growing in your heart, the way to uproot it, to uproot that ugly weed, is with the tool called forgiveness. And what is forgiveness? Anybody ever think here about what the word forgiveness actually means? What does it mean? Forgiving one's faults if they've done anything to you. Okay, basically forgiveness is releasing your offender of a debt that you feel that they owe you. You might be thinking, man, I lent that person weeks or months ago or years ago $200 and they said they'd pay me back in a month and they never paid me back. And you're angry and you're bitter and you think about it and you try to get revenge and you lose your night's sleep over it. You get depressed about it. And you know what forgiveness says to do? It says just release that person of the debt of the money that they owe you. And you might be thinking today, well, you know what? The least they owed me was an apology. The least they could have done was say, I'm sorry. But you know what? Forgiveness involves releasing your wrongdoer of the apology that you feel that they owe you. All right, we're going to turn to Matthew 18. We've read it before, but it bears repeating today. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Peter thought he must have been doing good. Maybe his offender offended him seven times. Maybe the offender was on the eighth offense, and he's like, Jesus, can I get even? And Jesus says, no, you need to walk in forgiveness. You need to walk and have a lifestyle of forgiveness. 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was unable to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debts. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a few days' worth of wages. He grabbed him, began to choke him, pay me back what you owe me. He demanded his fellow servant, fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned them over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. This parable shows what great forgiveness the Master, God, has lavished on us. Let us never forget this. We've committed offenses against God. We've lied. We've stolen. We've hurt other people. You know, we've done some terrible things in our lives, and God has forgiven us of our offenses, just like this Master forgave that servant of a debt worth millions of dollars. He begged him. He says, I can't pay it. He forgave him. He says, you don't owe me that money anymore. So this servant had the nerve to go out and find a co-servant, a fellow servant, who owed him a day's worth of wages. And he had him thrown into prison until that co-servant would pay him back everything that he owed. He was merciless. Merciless. And when the original master who forgave him that debt of millions of dollars found out what he did, what did he do? It's like he retracted his forgiveness and had him thrown back into prison. That's a shame, isn't it? Isn't that a shame? So the point of the parable is this, guys. Let me repeat it. Let us not forget the great forgiveness God has lavished on every single one of us when we made His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Okay, Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 4. What does he say? Let's read it. Verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. In context, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children. Imitators of God in what way? Imitators of God in this area of forgiveness. Just as God has forgiven us, we need to forgive our offenders. Let me ask you this today. Who is the standard setter on forgiveness? Is it us or God? Who's the standard setter on forgiveness? Us human beings, finite human beings, or the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth? God is the standard setter. But you know, when you go about life with this attitude, like somebody has offended you, they've hurt you, they've done something to wrong you, and you're like, you know what, I'm not going to forgive them, I'm going to hold it against them, I'm going to retaliate, and you're walking around with that kind of attitude in life, guess what? It's like you're setting the standard on this issue of forgiveness. In a roundabout way, you're standing in pride. You're kind of putting yourself above God. But really, God is the ultimate. God is above every single thing and person in this world. He is the standard setter on forgiveness. And if He tells us in His Word to forgive because He has forgiven us, then guess what? We need to bow, we need to humble ourselves, and we need to forgive just as in Christ God has forgiven us of our offenses against Him. Is that good news? All right. Now in Matthew chapter 18, remember that original master who forgave millions of dollars found out that the servants couldn't forgive a co-servant. He had him thrown into prison. He said, you wicked servant, verse 32, Matthew 18, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. All right, unforgiveness from this parable shows us that it throws us into a state of torment, a prison of torment. When you're bitter, unforgiving, if you hold a grudge against a wrongdoer, guess what? It throws you into a mental prison of torment. Unforgiveness will cause you to think over and over and over about your offender and what they did to you. I can't believe they did that to me. And you think about it and meditate on it. And you can't sleep at night. It robs you of your sleep so that you have no peace in your mind, in your spirit. I don't want to be there. How about you? No, right? Bitterness throws you into an emotional prison of torment. An emotional prison of torment. You know, if you keep thinking about the abuse that person inflicted on you, maybe a spouse, maybe a girlfriend, whatever it might be, if you keep thinking about that abuse that person inflicted upon you, and you keep thinking about it and thinking about it, guess what? You're going to get depressed because you're so focused on the offense, you're so focused on yourself that you won't want to get up in the morning. You won't want to be around other people. You'll find yourself hidden in a cave of emotional depression. And worst of all, friends, I'm here to tell you today that bitterness throws you into a spiritual prison of torment. A spiritual prison of torment. You know, you'll face eternal torture if you die bitter and unforgiving. Eternal torture. Separation from God eternally. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What's our salvation based upon? What's our salvation based upon? The forgiveness of our sins by God in Christ Jesus. It's in the Scripture. If we don't forgive our offenders, God won't forgive us. We're standing on dangerous ground eternally if we can't forgive. Would you agree? Parachuting. Anybody ever parachute? I haven't. It's scary. With a parachute, if you jump out that plane, that helicopter, whatever it might be, that plane, it would be a plane. If you jump out and you pull the string and the parachute doesn't open, guess what? You're in trouble. You're going to be falling fast. You're going to hit that ground. And guess what? Most likely, you're going to die physically. But if you jump out of that plane and you pull that line and that parachute opens, guess what? You have saved your life. You will float down into safety. See that picture in your mind? You're on that plane. You jump out the plane with the parachute on your back. You pull the string and it opens. Parachute opens. You will float down into safety. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, I encourage you, pull the string of forgiveness over your offenders. It will save your life eternally. If you die in a state of bitterness and unforgiveness and grudge holding against an offender, you may lose your life eternally. This is not my opinion. These are not my words. This is straight from the Word of God, the Bible. We're all going to face it, friends, in the next hour. Somebody may say or do something to offend you, to set you off, you know, that something that just doesn't sit right with you. Don't hold it against them. Open the parachute of forgiveness over their lives. Offenses will come. They are bound to come. They will come. But forgiveness is an option. People will offend you this week, next month. But guess what? You have got to choose to do what? You've got to choose to forgive. It's a choice. You know, you may not feel like forgiving, because forgiveness is not based on feeling, but you've got to choose to forgive your offender. You know, I tell you, it isn't easy to forgive. It is not easy to forgive. Anybody ever been there? Where somebody has deeply hurt you or even lightly hurt you and it's so hard to forgive them, you know, selfishness says no to forgiveness. But God says yes to forgiveness. And friends, I'm telling you, I speak from experience. It is tough to forgive. But I encourage you, pray for God's ability, God's empowerment, His grace, for you to be able to forgive your offender. Faith brings the ability to forgive. If you say you've got faith in God, relationship with Christ, you say you have relationship with the ultimate forgiver, guess what? It should become easier and easier for you to forgive. Because we become like those with whom we associate. Faith brings the ability to forgive. That was the title of the message. Let me say it again. If you claim to have faith in God, relationship with God, with Christ, if you're in relationship with the ultimate forgiver, God Himself, then it should be easier and easier for you to forgive because you become like the one with whom you associate. Is that making sense here today? So when it's tough to forgive and you're like, God, I can't do this on my own. Anybody ever been there? God, I can't do this on my own. It is so tough. God, I can't believe they said what they said. I can't believe they took what they took. I can't believe they abused me the way that they did. When it's so tough and you're like, God, I just want to hold on to it. God, I just want to retaliate and get even. God, they just owe me at least an apology. When it's so tough to forgive, start crying out to God. And God will give you His divine strength and ability to do it. This is something you will need every day of your life. Remember, bitterness unchecked brings tragedy and destruction. I don't want to be there. How about you? One last note. If somebody that you're in relationship with, every time you're in relationship with them or every time you see them, they abuse you. Maybe they talk down on you. They cuss you out. They belittle you. They demean you. And then they say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you forgive them. And the next time you meet them, they cuss you again. And they demean you. And they belittle you. And they say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And you forgive them. And they keep doing this every time you see them. Every other week or you know every month. And cuss you out. They belittle you. They demean you. At that point, you know, you release yourself from personal vengeance or retaliation. But you cannot release that repeat offender from moral responsibility. You need to hold them morally accountable. How do you hold the repeat offender morally accountable? A couple of different ways. You separate yourself from that person, number one. And number two, you need to report that offense, that repeat offender, to an authority. You've got to protect your life and the lives of those under your care. Is that making sense?